Welcome to Amazon Legends, where we have real stories about making it big on Amazon. Our guests are CEOs of large companies and entrepreneurs who became power sellers. Also providers specializing in helping sellers, aggregators that acquire sellers, and former Amazonians will give us an insight from behind the scenes. Here is your host, Nick Urison.
Welcome to another episode of Amazon Legends. My next guest today has spent 2 decades building a marketing agency. Then he put what he preached to work and he built his company. Today he is the CEO of Grill Party Barbecue, which is an 8-figure seller on Amazon. And when he's not working, he is a big foodie and spends time with friends and family. With that, everybody, meet my guest, Ankur Garg. Welcome to the show, Ankur.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for having me today. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm really glad you could make it, finding time from all the barbecue stuff that you have going on.
Yeah, it's been a busy summer.
Yeah, well, as we record this in August, it's summertime and it's a great time for barbecuing. So I'm sure that impacts your business. So now you've been doing this long enough, first as a professional to help others, and now you're doing it yourself and you're doing it very well since you're doing 8 figures. And you are here today to share some secret programs that Amazon has for sellers. So tell us what those are. And everybody listening, you better stay tuned because we're going to go down the list and Ankur is going to give us the inside information, so to speak, that not that this is secret, but it's not known. So you're going to learn all about it. So stay tuned. Let's jump right in. So what's the first one, Ankur?
So, I mean, I know that your audience is pretty educated on how Amazon works with Seller Central and Vendor Central. And when it comes down to having memberships to either one of those platforms, it's pretty straightforward. Now, we're going to focus on Seller Central today because that's where most of the secret programs that most people just don't know about all exist. I think the best place to start would probably be Amazon exclusives. Most people don't know that Amazon Seller Central has a program dedicated to just promoting the products that are committing to being exclusive on Amazon. So it's called Amazon Exclusives. You have to apply to get into the program. You get a rep. Once you have that rep, the rep will then create your brand page for you on the exclusive platform. And then literally you're guaranteed, I think it's 25% retargeting advertisements all throughout Amazon whenever you're an exclusive brand. In addition, you can apply to be on a variety of different lightning deals that they offer on the exclusive page. And I've seen at least 7 different brands get around a 30% sales bump as soon as you apply to being exclusives. Now, the one caveat is normally exclusives won't let you in unless you're showing some type of commitment to not being on any of the competitor websites. And I'm sure you know of all the other competitor e-tailer websites, they're all over the place. But at the end of the day, Amazon's still the elephant in the room. So it's never a bad idea to potentially make that commitment to Amazon and go down this route. But one thing I do want to warn people on is that there is an additional fee to be in the exclusive program, but you know that makes sense. They're putting you in front of millions of more customers that are only buying products because you're exclusive to Amazon.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, there's a couple of things there that I want to get out there immediately and then address it. Get an Amazon rep.
Yeah.
So, okay, start with that. Getting an Amazon rep. How do you do that? Because I'm sure people would love to do it. I know there's a program which I think they charge like $6,000 a month or $6,500, something like that. So is that what you're referring to, or is there a different kind of rep?
Yes, it's a different kind of rep. So I'm sure you're aware, like Amazon is very siloed. Every one of these programs and departments has its own office and its own team and everyone behind it. So when you join as an Amazon Seller Central vendor, you essentially will get 4 or 5 different reps assigned to you, all of which only one will ever reach out to you. and that is for Amazon Marketing Services, AMS. I'm sure you've seen these emails. I'm sure the audience has seen these emails. It's a rep saying, hey, let me turn on your Amazon ads so that we can increase your sales. And essentially, they'll do like a managed for you ad program. It could work sometimes. It doesn't work all the times. It only really works when the audience or, you know, the vendors actually go in and fully customize the listing and take advantage of all the different search engine optimization opportunities with keywords and the captions and everything else on the images. But the exclusive program, there's no like landing page to go to apply to get a rep. What you have to do is you have to go through Amazon Marketing Group. And you have a rep in Amazon Marketing Group, but only your AMS rep will introduce you to your AMG rep. Mm. And so if you request an introduction to your AMG rep, your AMG rep is going to try and sell you an IO essentially to do a $30,000, $100,000 marketing commitment to them with the Amazon Marketing Group. The difference is Amazon Marketing Services is trying to get you to advertise your keywords and go through their program. Amazon Marketing Group wants to do email marketing directly to customers that are buying in your category. And we all know the power of email marketing. There's a variety of great tools in there. And these are kind of not so secret programs, but for those people who are new to selling on Amazon, it's really key to know the difference between those two advertising opportunities. But once you get in touch with your Amazon Marketing Group rep, you can ask them for an exclusives rep and they'll introduce you to the right person and that person can help you sign up.
Okay, so reaching out to Amazon Marketing Services. So let's imagine that you are a seller and you haven't received one of those ads or whatever from Amazon Marketing Services. How do you make that initial contact with Amazon Marketing Services rep that is assigned to you? They are behind the scenes. They're not reaching out to you. You're not talking to them. You don't know who they are. They may be just assigned to the account, but they are in the behind the scenes, so to speak. So how do you make that initial contact?
Great question. So Amazon has a checklist where once you've completed your profile, and I'm sure you see that on the dashboard, right? It's like 40% profile completeness or 100% profile completeness. And then there's like a sales number. There's a certain threshold that you have to hit. And then you get an email from your AMS rep. It's a guarantee that you're going to get that email once you hit that threshold. The threshold is different in every category. Mm-hmm. And so that's like a fun caveat that you just have to know once you've been in different categories on Amazon. So in certain things like apparel, that threshold is at 5,000. In nutraceuticals or seasonings or consumable items like groceries, so on and so forth, that threshold is only $500. And that threshold will go all over the place for tech and, you know, every type of product you can think of.
Is that your sales, monthly sales, daily sales, or what is that?
Lifetime sales. Once you hit a certain amount of sales, your AMS rep will automatically reach out to you. And if you're past that, it's probably in your spam box if you didn't notice it. And so you want to go through your spam and find that email or go through your inbox. You probably didn't even know it was your AMS rep reaching out to you because you were like, why would Amazon email me? I'm just going to ignore this. This looks fake with all the scam emails that are out there. But it's a real email, I promise you.
Okay. All right, so to figuring out what your monthly sales should be, that's obviously category by category. But once you achieve that, then you are obviously that's not a one-time deal. Like they want to see that kind of sales volume on a consistent basis, right?
Yeah, of course. But the initial contact, it'll only happen once you like cross the threshold of like professionalism. You have to have your profile completed, you know, your tax documents uploaded, everything else that they require. You have to have images on every slot for your products filled out. All the ASINs have to have every bit of information in there. And then you have to hit a certain sales threshold. And then once that happens, your AMS rep will reach out to you. They don't care if you hit a certain threshold every month, every year, any of that. They just want you to start advertising and using Amazon's marketing services.
I see. Okay. All right. So, because, you know, you make a good point because a lot of people leave that boring information about your profile incomplete because they want to put up their listings and start selling and they leave that incomplete. And then the next thing is they are already spending PPC money and they've already put so much time and energy into producing their products, sending it to FBA. But because their profile is incomplete, they, you know, I guess they are off the radar screen, right?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, completing your profile and making sure you've met all those checkboxes, it's a huge thing for Amazon, because then when you start reaching out to some of the other secret programs I'm going to tell you about, they're referencing what information you put in those profiles, and they're fact-checking it against your LinkedIn. They're going to fact-check it against your other social media profiles to see whether or not you're going to qualify for the other programs.
Great. Wow, that's so valuable. I mean, there is one company in the whole world, and I say in the whole world because they are in everywhere in the world, that never forgets anything you tell them. And Amazon is the second one. You know the first one?
Google.
American Express.
Oh, yeah. The American Express is another one, for sure. 100%.
They never forget anything. 30 years ago, 20 years ago, something happened. You missed a payment or whatever. It comes back. Says, oh, you know, you had done this. So Amazon is the next one. Of course, American Express doesn't have as much information about you as Amazon does. Amazon has all your credit cards, all your addresses, all your spending habits, your, you know, who you gift to, and I mean, your electronic footprints of your devices, and it's amazing these days. Okay, next one. Let's move on to the next one.
Yeah, so I'm just going to reference my notes here just to make sure that we don't miss anything. So there's some programs that I think are front-facing that everyone's probably aware of. Like there is a handmade category on Amazon, and there is a custom category on Amazon, and then there's even a subscription box category on Amazon. So, I mean, let me just give a quick rundown of those in case any of the listeners don't know what those are. So everything that you sell on Etsy, all these things that are getting customized and like you're putting logos and all that kind of stuff. And then the stuff that is just like a art or a design or whatever it is that you're just, you know, putting together, you're just claiming that it's handmade. You can actually get approved to be in either of those categories, Amazon Customs or Amazon Handmade. When you're in either of those categories, what's really, really great is that Amazon literally will market for all of your ASINs for free. Most people will get, on average, a 6.5 to 11.5% free retargeting ad spend within Amazon's platform. So let's say you're searching for, you know, it's football season's coming up, right? We're almost in September. Let's say you're searching for your favorite football team's like t-shirt or other paraphernalia that's out there that, you know, is swag for going to a game or your Sunday cookouts or anything like that. If you make custom shirts for your team or anything like that, you can actually go onto Amazon Handmade, or if you customize these shirts with like names and numbers and all that kind of stuff, you can go and custom. And then literally as soon as you make your first sale, Amazon will reinvest into making sure other people realize that you're a vendor that'll actually deliver on whatever that you're doing. And this is something that came down from top level management over at Amazon, where they really wanted to push these specific categories to kind of compete with the other players. I mean, everyone knows how Amazon started, right? With the diapers and the books and everything else. And they just wanted to eliminate that competition. And I mean, it's pretty obvious who Amazon's going after with these two categories, but Amazon's the big player. And if you're looking for custom stuff and you're able to get it in 2 to 5 days turnaround, you meet all of Amazon's requirements to be in these categories.
Yeah. Well, this is an interesting subject, because I've had a few clients in this. First thing that people have to be aware of is if you are doing Amazon custom, that is an FBM operation. So you have to be fulfilling your own orders, because orders are coming in for you to produce the customization and then ship it to the customer. So that's number one, right?
Now that's not 100% all in. There's also an FBA version where Amazon will actually print the order for you, depending on what category it is. So they're doing it for shirts, they're doing it for posters, they're doing it for mugs, pens, some of the basic items. If you're familiar with going on websites like 4Print and like Spreadshirt and all that kind of stuff, it's very similar what Amazon will reprint for you, and then Amazon will handle everything.
They actually do the production. You send them the plain materials, and then Of course, they are receiving the specs when the order is placed, and then they do the printing. So I'm sure they charge for it, right?
Yeah, of course, of course. But it's Amazon, so it's still a great price, right? Just like how, you know, if you do Fulfilled by Prime shipment for your like Shopify website or anything like that, which, you know, we'll talk about that if we have time. It's still a phenomenal rate for what they're offering. I think like a one color print on a t-shirt, all inclusive with shirt and print and shipping, is around $8 to $9 is the cost that Amazon takes.
$8 to $9.
Right. And so if you're selling that shirt for $20, I mean, that's great margin, right? And I mean, it's not bad. It's just at the end of the day, are people coming to Amazon to search for a custom Giants, you know, NFL Giants t-shirt? Are they going to Etsy? Are they going to the NFL store? I mean, there's a lot of competition in some of those spaces. But yeah, if you make a unique product that has an edge and is easy to find through Amazon search algorithm, then, I mean, you definitely have an opportunity to scale and grow.
Plus, if Amazon is marketing your listings because they are custom, that's a big advantage. You know, Ankur, what appeals to me about what you just mentioned, where Amazon does the customization for you, is that it will scale. You can never scale on your own, right? I mean, right. Imagine. So I wrote blog articles about this. I talk about this all the time. First of all, driving business to your own website versus Amazon is an expensive game. So I say, don't think about it if that's the first thing you need to do. Launch on Amazon so that you can get customers rather than spend money on visitors. The second challenge is, after getting enough visitors and getting enough conversion, is, God forbid, you are extremely successful, you're getting hundreds of orders a day, fulfilling those orders, dealing with customer service, and it's a nightmare for a startup, right? It never scales. So that's why I always say, go with Amazon. Now, with what you mentioned, you open a whole new door, so to speak, with custom products, where you don't have to deal with the customization part, but let Amazon do. And plus, they will market it for you. This is a great service. I did have a client who had an interesting product. They did personalized storybooks for kids, and they would print. So one thing we did was we basically picked 5 boys, 5 girls' names that are most popular in the United States, and pre-printed those and sent them off as FBA. So they were already there, shipped from stock. And then they also had a custom variation that simply would become an FBM order, so to speak. And then we would watch, you know, how many orders are coming in for what name. And then we will very quickly add that to the pre-configured ones. And that way, you know, keep making them, turning them into FBA. So that's a strategy that we pursued on. It was a unique item. Yeah, it nevertheless, there was still some work, but that's another way to do it.
I love that you brought that up. I have 2 of my really good friends, their wives wanted to create storybooks, like when COVID happened and they were just sitting at home and they're trying to figure out how to entertain their kids. So I actually showed them how to activate Amazon print on demand. And so, you know, when you're on the boardwalk or you're on vacation, you go to one of those gift shops and you see that the license plate keychains, and it has 1,000 different names. You can learn from my name because I'm Indian, right? No one's going to have Encore on one of these keychains, but you'll find like hundreds of these other names on these types of things. So I taught them how to upload individual ASINs per different name that they could come up with, which took them 2 minutes, right? You open up the book file, you change out a couple of names, you know, control F, replace all, export PDF. I showed them how to get the ISBNs that they need through, you know, Bowker's and wherever they're going to get the ISBN numbers for the books. And they don't have to have any inventory. Amazon will print the book and ship it to the customer every time there's an order. Of course, Amazon charges for this, right? But having to have zero inventory and zero overhead, my friend's wives made a killing on what they did, right? Because they were really good at drawing and they work with some artists locally to get the stories all figured out and everything. And there is just this huge niche for like ethnic storybooks for kids, for getting the right representation in whatever culture that they're from. And you look at a country like India, right, where there's so many subcultures in the different parts of the country, it was so easy for them to literally print their own money.
Yeah. I mean, I had a guest a while ago, and our subject was micro categories. So he loved these real niche categories. So I said to him, his name is Alan. So I said, Alan, so when you go to Amazon bestsellers page and you have the complete list of all the categories, and then you can click and then drill down layer by layer. And you can, in fact, go down multiple layers, and some of them go five layers down. So I said, where would you like to be? What is the most ideal? He said, Nick, as deep as I can get. Because when you get down to those real bottom layers, there is very few competing products. So your competition is less. And then he said, when you look at the reviews on those competing products, you know exactly what they are doing wrong. And then you can fix those and then bring out your own product. And because it's such a niche, it's easy to rank up very quickly. So what you bring up the similar approach with ethnic products approach, right?
This is a good transition. I mean, depending on how many views this episode gets, I'm going to hold one program tight to my chest. But if this, you know, what's the highest views one of your episodes has gotten to date?
Oh, I just know that overall, every week we get 15 to 20,000 downloads.
Great. Okay, so if this episode gets 25,000 downloads, I'm going to announce this other group so everyone knows it. So there's actually a program in Amazon where you can get to create your own category. Most people don't know how to get into this program, but you know how sometimes you go, as you drill down into the categories, you'll eventually get to one that only has one or two.
Yeah.
Amazon has 10 slots for every subcategory, and you can keep going down as much as you want. You just have to show Amazon that you're a member of this one group, right? And then you have to have three different SKUs that you're going to put in the same category, and they'll create a new category for you.
And how do you get them to create the category?
You just shoot them a text message or an email.
Okay.
So shoot me a message, and once we get to 25,000 downloads, I'll tell everyone that answer.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
You got a deal. All right, cool. So let's move on to the next secret.
All right, so let's talk about Amazon Renewed. This is a program that I feel like so many sellers don't take advantage of, and they don't know how to take advantage of it. So Amazon has a program where, I mean, let's just forget Amazon for a second. And your whole world is being a retailer. You're going to get returns, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get a return because the address was wrong for the customer. Sometimes you get a return because the package was damaged by USPS or UPS or FedEx or whatever. But there's going to be stuff that's in perfect condition. What do you do with that stuff? Do you put it back into inventory? If it's already prepped for Amazon, you can actually ship it to Amazon Renewed, put a little discount on it, and Amazon will help you push that product out and liquidate it. What's really big about this program is that Amazon, when they receive returns in FBA, you can actually set up an automatic transfer to Amazon Renewed through their inspection process. And you're literally just printing free money that just appeared, because otherwise Amazon just throwing out that inventory. And that's what most vendors do when they're on Seller Central. They're like, oh, well, we don't know what to do with this inventory. We're not going to ship it back here and pay for the shipping and then for us to inspect it and ship it back to you. They'll do it all at the DC, at Amazon, and you don't have to worry about anything.
So this is called Amazon Renewed.
Yeah.
And when you put the product, and this is just anybody can do this.
Yeah. And so I'm sure you've seen cases where like another seller would be Amazon Warehouse. Amazon Warehouse will pay you for that inventory because they're able to liquidate it through Amazon Renewed. And so rather than letting Amazon just destroy that inventory, you could automatically transfer it into this program. And vice versa, stuff that you're getting returns on, you can just ship over to Amazon Warehouse through the Amazon Renewed program and just liquidate all of it.
I want to introduce Cellcore to all my listeners. As you all know, it's essential to add another selling channel to Amazon. Even though Walmart is the natural addition, you need the know-how to hit the ground running. Cellcore is a Walmart-approved agency for launching and scaling Amazon brands on Walmart, and even getting you into Walmart stores. They manage over 400 brands and 100,000 products. They were kind enough to offer my listeners a free comprehensive audit and a $500 statement credit. Visit www.cellcore.co/legends and mention Amazon Legends to activate this offer. But do it quickly because this offer may not last long. www.cellcore.co/legends. So first of all, okay, there's two different types of products here. One is an existing listing that you have Amazon, and then you have returns and others. And the other is you have other returns that you can send to Amazon, but you need to have a listing for them, right?
Correct. You have a listing for it, yep.
Yeah. And so if it's for an existing listing where you are the, it's a private, your private label product and you are the seller, and when you give it to Amazon Renewed, then Amazon will become an additional seller, but that listing will be displayed as a used item, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or it'll be like used like new, used good, slight damage yes. on the exterior packaging, some scratches or nicks.
Yes, they have those disclosures in terms of what used means. It's so packaging damage, product intact, and things like that they offer. So what that will do is it will then get you another seller in the buy box, right?
Not just another seller in the buy box, but Amazon will treat you like Vendor Central and you will immediately get a deposit into your Seller Central account.
I see. So for the sale, of course.
Right, because Amazon Warehouse is going to buy it all in one shot.
I see. Okay, so they are effectively becoming a reseller of your return products.
Yes.
Yeah, they.
This is money that most people leave on the table.
And okay, so there is a technical aspect of this. So since they bought the product from you legally, they can sell it at any price they want. So I'm sure they price it lower because it's used, right?
Well, it depends on how you price what it is that they're going to buy from you for. You have a choice in that matter.
I see.
Right. Okay. And then they have a choice to say no and not approve you for the renewed program, or they can say yes. So where I think this is important is that I don't think MAP pricing matters on Amazon when it comes to renewed. Mm-hmm. I think there's always going to be sellers that are buyers that are looking for a little bit of a hookup. And I don't think it affects your brand equity if there's options to go get it from Amazon Warehouse.
Yeah, I agree. The brand doesn't take a hit on this. The only thing that I will tell people is this affects your buy box retention rate. So it will drop from 100%, that really what you should have at all times, to 90, 85, sometimes depending on how many of these you have. So what I always say is, you've got to be tracking your buy box retention rate in order to calculate your replenishment more accurately. Because if you are having, let's say, 100 pieces a day, let's say, just for the sake of example, in sales, and you think, okay, I'm selling 100 pieces a day, if that's going at 85% buy box, then obviously your full potential is not 100 pieces, it's more than 100. So that's why I say, tracking your buy box retention is key. And a lot of sellers, this brings up another good point for me to rant on a little bit. Most private label sellers do not think that they can ever lose the buy box because they are the only seller. Well, that doesn't always happen. You always have a situation where Amazon will take you off the buy box, even though you may be the only seller. They just simply list available from these sellers, and then you have to click on it to see who is selling it, and you'll be the only one there. But there is no buy box. And of course, that causes you to bleed sales because nobody wants to click on those links to make a purchase. So Amazon Renewed would be another reason why you would lose. So just wanted to get my two cents in on this buy box retention, because it's an important metric to track.
All right. So cool. Speaking of the buy box, now a lot of people don't know that you have the tool to fight against other sellers. So I don't know if any one of your other episodes have gone into this, but if you own the trademark on your brand name, on the product name or whatever it is, there's actually a department in Amazon where you can file a trademark infringement on the other sellers that are selling your product, if they're not authorized resellers, of course. And Amazon, within 3 business days, will take down that entire account.
Well, let me speak to you about this. You and I can have a whole conversation about this because I'm intimately familiar with it. In fact, I'm going to up you on this. They will do it instantly after you file your first infringement report. Because what they will do is, on the first time you ever, and by the way, this is done through brand registry, not through Seller Central. But when you do that, they will put it under review. And then once they review and then they see everything checks out, then your next report and next report and next report, you hit submit, and then you refresh the page, it's closed already and they are removed. In some cases, if the seller challenges it and they produce commercial invoices and things like that, they are likely to come back and say, it sounds like this is a matter between you and the seller. They produce third-party verifiable commercial invoices, which gives them the right to sell. Then please take it up directly. Sometimes that happens. That's been my experience. But 95% of the time, it works. So this is definitely a way to go, right?
The beauty of what I'm talking about is actually for that scenario. The group that I'm referring to is Amazon's litigation team, and it's not through brand registry. Oh. And that you just have to have a rep on this department or a contact. And as soon as you email them saying, hey, look, I know this person created documents, but they were not approved to sell on Amazon. They were only approved to sell at John's convenience store in Alabama or whatever. And then the litigation team will actually take them down in 3 days.
I see.
So this is beyond the regular trademark infringement. This is actually through a secret program in Amazon where once you've made a certain amount of sales and you have these types of issues, Amazon, you can have a rep in this department that is part of the Amazon litigation team. And you just shoot them an email saying, hey, look, this is what's going on. I need help. Amazon doesn't want to lose its top sellers. Amazon doesn't want to lose the buy box people who are actually increasing revenue. Because think about it, if you're selling your product for $100 and that guy's selling your product for $60, Amazon makes more when you sell the product, not when they sell the product.
Yeah. Well, right? I mean, let me tell you this. People are so uneducated about these things. So I have a client, and I'm not going to say what product it is, but their item was selling at $34.95. And they sold to retail chains as well as direct to consumer on Amazon. The market turns, the demand goes down. The chains that they sold to dump inventory. Now, resellers coming out of the woodwork. The price went down to $7, $8. You know what this particular seller did? They went into price wars.
And you can't win in that setting?
It was murder, murder. It's like murder in daylight. And when I came on board, he said, what are you doing? He said, well, at least this way we can make a few bucks. I said, you're killing your brand. How can you allow? Well, what do we do? They just didn't know. They knew nothing about how to go about it and how to report and where to report and most important, how to report. They had no idea that they had these rights. So we got the whole thing fixed pretty much in a couple of days. But two or three sellers complained.
Yeah.
And they produced commercial invoices.
Of course they did. You know one of my favorite stories? Black Friday. There was this one brand that I was working with, and they did like 80% off on Black Friday. And there were consumers that bought hundreds of their products and just listed them on Amazon come January. And they were like, we don't know who these people are. Why? How are they getting inventory? We don't get it. I'm like, all right, give me the last 6 months of your sales history. Let me get an understanding of your discounting. And it's just some brands just don't understand that when you give people access to, less than wholesale pricing because of a seasonal holiday, you're going to get resellers popping up. And if you don't have access to these programs and trademark infringements and so on and so forth, you just don't have a way of fighting.
Yeah. And there is another way for people to get their hands on your merchandise cheaply.
Right.
They register for Amazon Business Program. And before you know it, they have these extra discounts that they are receiving directly from Amazon. So they couple it with the discounts that you are offering. They can get up to 40, 50% off. And then the next thing is they are reselling just for extra cash flow.
Yeah.
So these things do happen. Cool. Next program. Let's move on to the next one. I'm loving this, by the way.
Yeah. Let's talk about FBM for a second. So I think this program has gone public now in the past year, but Amazon was running a special organization called Amazon Local. So if you had an FBM account and you had a physical retail location and you could show that to Amazon, they would give you an extra tag on your product called Amazon Local for anyone whose IP address is registered within a 25 or 50 mile radius of your physical location. And then you would get Prime same day, Prime second day, whatever, as long as you're doing FBM properly. But they would immediately rank you for all the keywords for that consumer who's within that 25 mile radius above everyone else. I tell every one of my clients to apply for this program because it's free. Amazon doesn't charge you for it. So there's no extra percentage like it is in some of the other programs. And all you have to show is that you have a showroom. So behind me, you see all this AV equipment, right? But if I just set up my products properly and I put a square terminal over to the left of my products, I can snap a photo of that, show my address, send it to Amazon. And for my seasoning company, within a 25 mile radius, I'm immediately going to win all the keywords. I'm going to get that little, support local banner that Amazon has. And, in the consumer market, everyone wants to just go ahead and check out in those settings.
Yeah, this is a big deal because it's, first of all, Amazon loves customer experience, right? So this provides good customer experience. And it's for you, it's free marketing because you have the upper hand on the keywords for local promotion.
That's another thing. When you get approved for this, you get activated for an extra section in your product listing for Amazon Local Video. And you can literally just have an interview with your video department answering all these questions about your product and brands and overcoming obstacles and put it right on your ASIN page. Something that you can't do with regular enhanced brand content or with A+.
Wow, that's a big deal. Of course, with that extra content, your conversion is going to be greater. And by the way, even if this is not for the local customers, that content is going to be on your product detail page, right? Regardless.
Yeah. Of course.
So now you have more opportunity to rank and show more content, which can influence your conversion rate in general. You become more substantial. It's not just selling locally. That's what I'm hearing from you. this has a lot more benefits.
So it's only shown to people within that 25-mile radius.
Oh, I see.
So someone in California, I'm in New Jersey, someone in California looking at my product will not see any of this.
I see.
But okay. If you live in a heavy metropolitan area, I live within 25 miles of New York City. So, and my office and warehouse is within 20 miles of New York City. So when I activate this, and New York City is seeing that local seasoning company, it's the same as, you know, like a Brooklyn brand or a Queens brand or whatever. We're just on the Jersey side, and it exponentially increases sales and opportunities for new customers.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's a big difference. It's another great one.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the next one.
Okay. Made in USA. A lot of people don't know there is actually a difference in your ranking if you can prove that the product is made in the United States. So if you go to your Amazon marketing services rep and you provide them certification that your product was made in the United States, which you can do just by the appropriate invoicing from the manufacturers, from the manufacturing and quality agreement, so on and so forth. You can then send that to your Amazon marketing services rep, and they will actually activate Made in the USA for you. And it immediately ranks you higher than all the Chinese brands and all the other random people all over the place.
Is this behind the scenes kind of activation? It's not visible to anybody.
So they tried turning it on with a banner, Made in USA, a few times. But then people could find gaps, right? So, for example, if something might be packaged or something in the United States, but it's actually sourced from China or sourced from India or wherever, it all of a sudden Amazon wasn't able to figure out its quality control for the banner. So it took all that stuff down. It doesn't mean that you can't still get in the program and show them that the product is actually made in the United States. They just ask for more documentation now. But I don't think they're putting it on the front end for the consumer facing just to avoid any issues.
Okay, so this will give you extra ranking, more visibility, I assume. Is there a disclosure anywhere that they make? Or I guess you could make that disclosure yourself, but people do that all day long.
Yeah, I mean, if your product is truly made in America, and you should 100% apply for that program with your Amazon Marketing Services rep.
Yeah, there are a lot of sellers take pride in doing that, producing here, but they don't know this program. So I'm sure they'll take advantage of it. Another great one. Okay, let's go to the next one.
So a lot of people, I think I mentioned earlier, subscription boxes. Everyone knows about subscribe and save, right? Save up to 15%, which the seller has to pay for if the consumer adds it to their subscribe and save program and whatever that they're going to do there. But Amazon has this other program called subscription boxes. So let's say you're selling protein and you want to add a shaker cup in every order. Instead of making it a gift with purchase, if you apply for the subscription box program, this now becomes a subscription box, and you can just change the flavor of the protein shipment for the next 6 months. So 1 month they get vanilla, the next month they get chocolate, but in every box they get a shaker cup. You are now putting a completely different audience pool of people who only buy subscription boxes, because they're looking for some change every single month, and you're taking the decision power of what that change is going to be away from them and simplifying the checkout process.
Yeah. Well, this program, I happen to dabble in it a little bit with one client. What they did was they had cooking kits that shipped a different country every month with different ingredients. So 1 month, China, next month, Italy, next month, you know, France, another one, India, you know, so you name it. They just simply, so you would subscribe, pay so much per month, and then they would ship. So that was the concept. So they created this subscription SKU. So for the listener's benefit, what Amazon will do is they will create a brand new ASIN every month. That's what's going to carry the orders for that individual SKU. So It's not one listing, so to speak, when it comes to the mechanics of the fulfillment and everything else, the listing management. It's multiple ASINs, but in the front end, everybody sees just one subscription SKU. You have to market it any way you want. You can have parent-child relationships. You can do all those things, except that you need to be prepared for a lot of back-end work. It's not easy. And then another thing is it upsets some of the performance reports, because now you're getting a new listing, new SKU, and you have to set all those up. It's definitely a program that is not publicized much. It's definitely a program that will address a niche audience, but it's an opportunity. You just need to be aware of what you're getting into when it comes to logistics, because it can turn into a nightmare, especially inventory. And by the way, this also has to be FBM. It cannot be FBA, right?
No, it's FBA now.
Really?
Yeah. And the beauty of it is that Amazon will kit it for you. So if I send Amazon the boxes, because the boxes have to be branded, that's the one requirement for FBA. And I send them, you know, and I make it like an ASIN and a SKU and whatever. I send them the shaker cup, the protein, so on and so forth. And I have to upload the spreadsheet for all the different combinations. Amazon will kit it. They charge like $275 a kit for the kitting fee.
$275 is no big deal.
Nothing. Yeah.
It's nothing.
The beauty of it is they don't take the 15% the way they do on subscribe and save. So you get all that margin.
Oh. Okay, so I can, I'm thinking of this particular client, and it will save them. In their case, they have like many, many different items, but nevertheless, it's a program. It's another program. That's not, it's yeah. Almost like custom that not too many people know about and as yet. And of course, the beauty of subscription is you sell it once, and then every month you're getting a new order, right?
Yeah. I think the most important thing for this call for all your listeners is that I just want the sellers out there to know that there are so many programs that are out there for you, and you're not going to get answers from the Amazon reps unless you ask them. Until you bring it up, it's a car salesman. Until you ask, you're like, hey, look, I saw this deal on this website or this TV commercial. Are you offering it? They're like, oh, okay, cool. We'll give it to you. But they're not going to give it to you until you know the right name or what to ask for. Like, for example, we're talking about the subscription boxes. But in addition, every ethnic group in this country has a specific Amazon program for that ethnic group business owners. So like for Black business owners, there's an accelerator within Amazon to help you grow. For Lebanese business owners, for Indian business owners, Mexican business owners, so on and so forth, there's literally a whole department whose sole job is to make you rich, right? They will tell you how to activate everything and do whatever, but just start asking the questions like, hey, is there a department for Mexican-owned businesses if you're a person of Mexican origin? Hey, I want to get into Japan. Do you have a system where I ship it to America, to the US DCs, and you'll ship it to the Japan DCs for me? They're like, sure, we have a system for that. Hey, will you help me translate my packaging into the different languages? They have that too. There's literally a program for every single one of these things, and they'll do it at their facility. There'll be a little charge, but break the barrier and get into the market and you leverage Amazon's resources to do it. And later you can scale on your own if you want to take some of that margin back. That opportunity is always going to be there for you. But anyone who's not taking advantage of these like secret programs and secret memberships and all that, I think you're just leaving money on the table.
So when you say ask, who are you asking? Not seller support.
So your Amazon marketing services rep is the best rep to start asking questions. And at one point, you're going to qualify for an AMG rep. That AMG rep is the guy who's playing at the $50,000, $100,000 range. And they'll give you the answers to the bigger opportunities and things that are out there. And eventually you're going to get a different rep for legal and you'll get a different rep for something else. And then I just start putting them all in one group email chain. Hey team, My seasoning brand is looking to get into Mexico. I need labels translated in Spanish. I need kitting. I need shipments from the US DCs to the Mexican DCs. Point me in the right direction. And they will literally give me the answers, the cheat sheet. They're going to give me everything I need to do. I don't do anything. I'm just clicking off my keyboard and typing stuff, and it just automatically goes wherever I need it to go. The only troubleshooting comes in is if you can't afford expansion. So don't expand until you're ready to expand, obviously, right? Because you have to have the inventory. And, you know, I've guided some people on this where they're like, oh, look, Amazon will put me in all 20 different countries that Amazon exists. Great. Let's have them do it all. Well, what happened to the United States inventory? Because it takes time for it to get there, right? Amazon's going to ship it by sea, so it saves money. And then all of a sudden, you don't have any inventory to sell, and your manufacturer's not re-upping your inventory for another 12 weeks, and now you're just sitting on your thumbs, not earning any money. So you have to have proper supply chain planning and logistical planning to understand how this is going to affect your inventory counts and all of that. And as you know, once you mess up your reporting data, I mean, you're going to lose Amazon's choice, you're going to lose buy box, you're going to lose all sorts of issues. So you just have to be very smart about how you go about it.
Yeah. I mean, I always say this. I said it in many episodes, and I'll say it again. The challenge in selling online successfully is not selling. It's inventory. It's demand planning and financing your inventory. Because the minute that you... Because success looks like scale when you're doing business online. Well, scale means inventory. Well, guess what? You're not going to scale ever if you don't have inventory. You'll simply run out of inventory, and that will be the end of it. And running out of inventory means interruption of data flow. It means interruption of campaigns, which means that when you start it back up, it's going to be, you know, uphill battle again. It means losing rank, which means everything. So it's a nightmare. And of course, inventory means finance. So ultimately, you better have the money to scale if you're starting a business with the intention to scale. Or right. At least get ready to get the money, because if you don't, it's all the efforts will just go to waste. So
absolutely.
Same situation. So give us one more before we wrap up, Uncle.
One more secret program. I feel like I gave you so many already.
Yes, you did. Let's talk about conversion. You mentioned something about conversion programs.
So the conversion programs are all invitation only. There are a handful of programs over at Amazon where they will literally create opportunities for content creation, for reviews, for different audiences. Like, let's say that you're selling really well in California and in New York, but you're not selling well in Florida or in Chicago or you know, any one of these like Midwest states or anything like that. They have programs that'll help you convert over there by what's considered a ghost ASIN. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say this in preface that you have to be on invitation only to get a ghost ASIN. But what a ghost ASIN is that you have different product details for every state or every community without losing any of the data per ASIN SKU. Mm-hmm. And so what this is like, let's say for conversation's sake, a shampoo, right? We all have different hair, right? People of African descent have a different hairstyle. People of Indian descent, East Asian descent, South America, so on and so forth. You can actually have ghost ASINs with different images that cater to that audience and different copy that caters to that audience. But you have to get to a certain point of scale before they'll even open the doors for this. And I see it most common in beauty. There'll be one product and it'll be the leader across all these categories, but then when I send it to a friend and they send me a screenshot back, it's a totally different listing than the one that I'm sending, but it's the same ASIN. And that's how I discovered what it was. I then reached out to my reps. They're like, oh, well, you haven't sold enough seasonings for us to open this up to you. I'm like, okay, well, how many things do I have to sell? They're like, well, we can't tell you. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's go figure out how far I have to push this. So I put in an IO with the Amazon Marketing Group. And right when it was time for me to pay, I'm like, hey, listen, I want to know how much I need to sell to get activated into this. And, you know, when we have money, that's the leverage. The guy told me what I had to sell. We did it through that IO program. The IO was like 30 grand. We did $150,000 in sales from that different marketing campaign. And it was all off one SKU. And then one SKU got the Ghost ASINs. And once that got it, then I was able to do it for everything else within the next 6 months.
So it's invitation only. I'm sure there are other many programs, invitation only programs that offer a lot. So there's
so many. What I recommend is if you find out about an Amazon convention or anything for Seller Central people, go. You will literally just start talking to people and asking about programs, and you're just going to find out so many different things. And there'll always be those reps that you can just immediately talk to. And if they can't help you, they'll connect you with the person that can.
Yeah. 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 I mean, you just need to be connected to the community all the time.
Yeah.
It's a great conversation, Ankur. There's so many. And obviously, you know, you taking advantage of, so you're speaking from experience. So it's not like you just are talking about the information. Okay, so let's now get to know you a little bit. So tell us a little bit about Ankur Garg. Who is Ankur Garg, and what gets you ticked, and what was it like? Tell us about when you found out that you were this entrepreneur.
To be honest, I'm the son of immigrant parents. I was actually born in India, came over here, I was 10 months old. When my parents realized the prince was born, they were like, we have to bring him to America.
It's like coming to America, the movie.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So I was raised here, and I mean, with blue collar immigrant parents that are, you know, working the 9-to-5 job every single day, and the American dream being pitched to you through 90s and 80s television and movies, I mean, you just always want more. So I think the hustle was born or was always there in me really young. I mean, I started my first business at the age of 11, and I just grew those businesses. I mean, I've had so many failures in the different startups.
What was that business?
So pretty much I figured out how the paper route worked, and I created a logistical outlet for me to control the entire paper route for my county. And I pretty much had all my friends in different sports teams running the paper routes, and then I was getting a cut from everyone's route, because none of them knew how to deal with the newspaper company, but I did, because I just read the agreements and I figured out how it worked. And the newspaper was ecstatic to only have to deal with one person rather than having to deal with 100 different, you know, paper boys. And so, you know, I would have meetings with all the paper boys. They would
you
all come
were
to my
11
house.
Years old. You were 11 years old. And you did. So how is, you know, what I'm curious about is, here you are 11 years old. Your parents are not in business, right?
Right.
So where did this come from for you to come up with this?
I got to blame 90s television, right? Zach Morris on Saved by the Bell, teaching how to get away with everything, right? Whenever Zach Morris wanted something, he just figured out a way to manipulate the people in authority, like the principal, Mr. Belding, his friends, whatever he had to do. Same thing happened in Family Matters with Steve Urkel and Laura Winslow. I think there's this one famous episode where Laura Winslow has to convince her father to get a prom dress. So she brings back three dresses with her mom and her aunt. One dress is the really expensive dress. One dress is a really raggedy cheap dress. And then this dress she really wants. But she obviously tells her father she wants the expensive dress. And so the father, being a cheapskate, was like, oh, we're going to get you the cheap dress. And the mother was like, if you do that, you're sleeping on the couch for like a whole month. He's like, fine, we can get the middle dress. I'm sorry, honey, you can't have the expensive dress. The father walks away and the girls all start laughing. Like, that's the dress they wanted anyway. They just knew that they had to show the father a more expensive dress just to get him convinced. And so, I mean, watching television that showed you this art of persuasion at such a young age, I think it just permeated into my brain. And I've just been that guy my whole life.
So it's the art of persuasion is what attracted you to doing business.
Yeah, and money. Money's always nice.
How is that? Because I know that, you know, America is a capitalist country. I mean, you practically 10 months old, you were even, so you are American. So you, that is your culture. So being a capitalist society, money is a big deal. not so much, your parents were born here. So I'm assuming they brought you up with the traditional Indian cultures, right? Not completely absent in your life.
Yeah, I mean, they wanted me to be a doctor, engineer, computer programmer.
But how about money? How in that, because you are at home, you are a kid, right? Parents, whatever parents say, that's what you do. So how is this interest in money and persuasion? How did that fit into what your parents were trying to teach you?
Yeah, so I think immigrant parents of my generation all had a key characteristic, and that was the ability to save money and not spend the money that they had access to. Meaning, like, you know, my dad got a paycheck, a third went into savings, a third went into the immediate expenses, a third went into lifestyle. And by having that type of discipline, I mean, I was able to be a kid who was growing up in this country of opportunity, being like, hey, well, you know, can't you buy me this or can't you buy me that? And they're like, well, no, we can't, because we need to put in our savings account for a rainy day or for the expansion of our family or to buy houses or so on and so forth. So as a kid, you're like, okay, cool. Well, if you're not going to buy me the new Nintendo or the Sega Genesis or whatever, then I'm going to have to figure out how to get it on my own. And you figure that out pretty quick by looking at, like I said, television and movies and seeing the different hustles that people do. And when you find one that works and you realize you're good at it, you're like, oh, let me do it again. And then again and again. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is actually a business. Maybe I should go talk to one of my uncles or one of my school teachers about helping me create an LLC. Then you go create an LLC. You then talk to your parents. Like, hey, I need a bank account. They're like, why do you need a bank account? I'm like, well, look, here's $1,000. Like, where the hell did you get this $1,000 from? You know, they're worried that you're like selling drugs or do something illegal. But when you explain you're not doing anything illegal, you're just working the system. And, you know, at that point, they're like, all right, go for it. Go nuts. As long as you're not doing anything illegal, doing anything wrong, we'll support it.
As a kid, your parents didn't object to you making money.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? You have an advantage, because I didn't grow up in this country. And as a kid, you know, just like all kids, we want things and then parents wouldn't buy. You are in the hands of parents. And I brought up the subject to earn money. They said, no. They said, you're not allowed to earn a penny until you graduate from college, because they did not want me distracted with money and give up studies. So that was their fear. And therefore, I never really got, I never, in fact, when I started college, I started giving private, you know, tuition and started making good money. And my life changed. I thought, oh my God, this is independence. And I mean, I didn't obviously give up studies. That was didn't have grounds really. But so you're lucky, I envy you.
Well, I negotiated with my parents when I was a kid. And I said, as long as I have grades that are X, Y, and Z, and as long as I don't drop any extracurriculars, I mean, do you have any issues? And, you know, they didn't care. And my extracurriculars made me more money. So I was like, I'll make this all work. And it's not going to be a problem. And I mean, school was always easy for me. I was fortunate that I had a lot of home tutoring at a young age, with from my parents and aunts and uncles and grandparents, so on and so forth, that every time that I'd be in a grade or a class, I would always technically be like a couple grades ahead with the content that I was learning at home. And so by having that jump start on everyone else, I mean, school was never a problem.
Yeah, yeah. That's great, Ankura. I love your story, but art of persuasion. And that's what you're doing. So you're shooting your own TV show, you know,
all the
building
time.
A story every day is production day, right?
Yeah.
That's great. So tell us, how can people reach you? You share your contact information for us.
Yeah. So my handle on all social media platforms is Ankur K. Garg. That's AnkurKGarg. I'm on every major platform. And then my seasoning company is Grill Party Barbecue, and that's BBQ, how it's being spelled. And that's also on every major platform. And if anyone has any questions about Amazon or anything like that, I'd be happy to help. But I mean, Nick is your guy. He knows just as much as I do and has a ton more experience on the agency world and on Amazon stuff. And, you know, I might have some questions for you later, Nick. So hopefully we connect.
Anytime. Thank you, Ankur. I learned a lot from you on this episode. It's a bliss, really, to have sellers like you, because you are in the trenches every day. It's not like you're speaking just based on information you found out. So it's a great episode. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much.
Before I wrap up, I want to remind everyone to visit www.sellcore.co/legends and mention Amazon Legends to get a free comprehensive audit and a $500 statement credit. It's time to conquer Walmart with Sellcore by your side. Thank you. And this brings us to the end of another episode, and I'll see you on the next one.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the episode, and share it with someone you think would benefit from it too.